Connected to CNN Network. You're connected to CNN Network. Currently connected to CNN Network. Connected to CNN Network.
KZ88 Mobile.
You're connected to CNN Network.
Good morning.
Morning, Sean. How are you doing?
Morning, Jerry. How are you doing?
Putting up with the stupid construction traffic.
Yeah, you were kind of down there in the thick of it, weren't you? You guys got hit pretty bad.
Yeah. What, you talking about the storm?
Yeah, didn't it, wasn't it all down your way?
I think some of it was like in Canton. There were high winds in Romulus. My house fared okay. But, yeah, I had to, I got off the freeway in Middle Belt, and I had to double back north and go to E-Course and then pick up Inkster because all the traffic lights were out.
We had a lot of rain and lightning and thunder and all that, but most all the there's reports of tornadoes down, Ann Arbor and Lincoln Park. And we had we have a garbage dump up here in Chesterfield Town, or not Chesterfield, it's in St. Clair County, up near New Haven. It's called Pine Tree Acres, and there's, yesterday it was still kind of in question mark whether it was a tornado or not. So the pros were supposed to come out yesterday or today, look at the damage and assess. I haven't heard yet whether we had one up here, whether it was confirmed. The structures that it blew down weren't very strong. You know, they basically wood structures with, you know, metals, you know, siding and stuff, and so it could have just been downblast or something.
Yeah, could have been. I found some YouTubers, I guess it's in Michigan, every time there's a storm, they do a live stream thing. Pretty interesting. They seem to know what they're talking about. Have a meteorological background.
Leave some room in there for the other morning regulars. I'm just going to be on the road here for a couple of minutes this morning. I'm not working today, and we're on our way to a doctor appointment. Got a 7 o'clock doctor appointment here. They'd like us to be there 10 minutes ahead so that they can get to us within 30 minutes of the start time. Always like that. But, yeah, I saw one of those when we were in Oklahoma, and one really horrible front went through, and we couldn't get any information. It was shocking how much, how little information there was on the radio. So we finally found a YouTuber that was in that. We ran that for miles, you know, trying, because we were running just, we were just behind the storm front, and it was a really nasty one. And it was white knuckle the whole way, because we didn't want to overtake it, you know, and find ourselves right in the middle of it because it was producing tornadoes all over the place.
Yeah, they said Canton, you know, you mentioned Lincoln Park, and I guess there were like 60 right over the airport.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting for that to go through. Well, I'll tell you what, we seem to be getting more tornadic over here in Michigan in general, in this area, than I recall. I know back in the, if you look at the historical records, we had some hella tornadoes back in like the 50s and 60s, but, you know, I grew up in the late 60s, 70s, 80s, and I don't remember a squat, you know. You know, there are never tornadoes around here. It was so rare. But seems like that's changing. I see the tornado belt is where they're, the way they draw it now. They include southern Michigan. So things have shifted.
Was there another one?
No.
Born in Dakota. I don't think there was another. I think we're still referring to the other night.
Good morning. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi.
Man, I get in here and I mess up the whole rotation. I double with you, Jerry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I just headed to get some gas, and then I'm going to go up Oda. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's maybe it's a cyclical thing. Dakota?
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous being in the middle of a field. Not yesterday, the day before. That wind. Man, there's no shelter protecting us. We're getting hit with the full force. So I don't want to be in the tornado belt. I don't want any shenanigans with my vinyl-sided house. It's going to be disintegrated.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I always notice is they tend to hit the open, you know, the open areas. So that would be cause for some concern. I wouldn't, you know, worry about it, but you do have to kind of be vigilant when there's warnings. Now, of course, you were in Armada when the Armada one hit, right?
Yeah, that was devastating. It missed my house by, 10 blocks, maybe.
Yeah, that's that was a hell of one. That missed my tower by about 100 feet. Not my. It went skated right along my tower. All right, we're here at the clinic. I got to drop my wife off here and then go park the car. W8FU, Jerry.
Okay, good luck with that. 7-3, and talk to you tomorrow. I think back in the mid-90s or something, I did field day up in Everett. And on the drive up there, there was some kind of storm, and rain was going horizontal. It was pretty bizarre.
This is some of the more extreme weather I've seen in 32 years I've been alive, or the time I can remember at least. And, of course, it's when I move out to, like I was saying, the middle of a field with no shelter, so I got to be on my toes. You want to do that trail again today?
Yeah, I can't miss. There's some guy in Jackson, and he keeps hammering it every day. I wanted to work my way up to Eagle's Nest, but I guess I'm going to have some company.
Have you ever heard of a Diamond Romeo Hotel Mike 12 antenna?
No, what's it for? What band?
Allman. It's a micro screwdriver.
Oh, okay, and it's made by Diamond?
Yeah, look it up whenever you got a chance and let me know what you think. I have one. I've only screwed around with it in my driveway once. I think they just recently started importing them. But it's the concept's sweet. I just think there's a huge learning curve to tuning it.
I still have it. I have one of the antennas that was like previous to Tar Heel. And basically, you kind of tuned it. It was kind of like a loop antenna. You kind of tuned it till it got really noisy. And then your SWR was like getting pretty good because it was getting resonant.
I've been watching a bunch of MagLoop antenna videos, and I learned that recently because I want to get one too, but they seem pretty expensive for what they are. But I'm going to give that a shot for whenever we have some decent weather here. I'm going to just try moving the screwdriver up and down. The problem is it's such a finite adjustment that I feel like you can throw it way off real easily. And then you also have the whip. It's got, I think it's, maybe a 17-foot telescopic whip on top of it. So then you've got to, play with that, too. So it's not super easy. I imagine if I had either, a tuner built into my radio or an external one, or if I had a rig expert or something to sweep it real quick, it wouldn't be terrible. But I've got a feeling that once you do get it tuned, it's going to be pretty narrow.
Yeah, I can't remember how narrow that antenna was, but it basically had a regular CB-size whip on it. And you had a toggle switch. You went back and forth with the motor to find the peak point.
The appeal of this antenna was it came with or didn't come with. They make a tripod mount base for it. So it's got, what is it? It's got an SO239 whip coming off of it, and then it's got an SO239 base. And then it's got three or four radio lugs with wing nuts. And then it's got a quarter 20 on the base, so you can screw it right onto any tripod, which has been like a dream of mine ever since I started doing portable ops, is just plop down a tripod and, get on the air. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be that simple.
Yeah, plus the Outbacker antenna, they made a tripod for it. I forget who made it. I can't remember. But Ham Radio Outlet used to sell it. I bought one brand new, and then I bought two since then, used from other people. But it's a really nice tripod. But then again, you could probably find some photographic ones, and I think both Chameleon and Res antennas, they make a conversion from 3/8-24 to whatever that photographic is. What is it, quarter 20 or something?
I have one of those, and it was so unbelievably expensive. It was like $40, and all it is this machine piece of stainless steel. But it's quarter 20 that I have on an Arca plate that I can put on. All my tripods are for hunting, so they're all Arca Swiss. So it's got an Arca plate with a quarter 20 on it that it threads onto, and then it's I don't think it's 3/8 actually. I'm trying to think what I bought that for. It's either 3/8 or M10. I think it might be M10. That's the other 3 one, right? The metric one?
Yeah, all the Chinese are M10. All the American ones are 3/8 24 thread.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I came across that in my parts bag the other day. I'm like, why did I buy this? And now that I'm thinking about it, you know what it was? So I had a Chameleon MPAS light. So the matching unit had a 3/8 base on it. And I was like, I want this thing on a tripod. But that antenna works great with a tuner, but running QRP and then having the 705 and the tripod, it was a whole bunch of crap I just didn't want to deal with, so I kind of gave up on that idea and ended up returning the antenna.
Okay, I gotta get gas. I'll be a few minutes. KT887.
Sounds good. I'll be here for a while at ADDF.
KT887.
I forgot to tell you last week when you were activating, I tried. I could not hear you, but I could hear your pileups.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I decided to advertise that day, so I think I got 25 or 30 some contacts.
It's a nice, easy activation.
I think in a half an hour or thereabouts. Yeah, it doesn't take too long. It takes a little longer to hunt. I went there and hunted yesterday, and I think I worked 14 or 15 contacts, and I usually wait, and I take my paper log to work, and then I go and look at my hunting page at work and see who turned in what logs, and a couple of them I got 2-for-1.
That's good. Yeah, I like when there's dual ops. Makes it quick and easy. I don't mind, you know, the activation, but yeah, it's a lot. So knock on wood, I've not failed an activation. I've always gotten at least 10 contacts. So that's always my goal. It's just scratch out the 10, and then I can relax and have fun and play with it.
Yeah. From one guy, I worked on two bands. I worked them on 40 and then 30.
You're doing CW, though, right?
Yeah, I was working CW on both bands.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a contact on 30, honestly.
Yeah, a while back, I should do it again. A while back, I activated Crystal Waters, I think when it first came on the radar. On 30 meters, but I activated it that way, and so rather than hunt, so I recorded it to make sure that I got all the calls right.
I just wish they would add some more parks in my area. Like, if you look at where I live on the map, it's just a desolate wasteland. There's no yellow dots anywhere. The closest one is Bald Mountain.
Oh, okay. And whereabouts are you at?
I misspoke. There's one closer. It's Metamora Hadley. It's 20 minutes away. I'm up in Helmand, so M53 and I-69, basically.
Okay. Helmand, you said?
Yes, sir.
KT887. All right, real good. I've seen other people do that. They get 4 contacts. It's like, why didn't you try some other bands or whatever? You know, went out and didn't get a full activation in.
I don't think it's that hard either. You can go hunt. You don't even really have to tell people you're activating a park. You can just go grab someone calling CQ. But I've done it. I told you that one time. It was freezing cold. It was like 15 degrees out. And I was running QRP with, what was I running? I think I had an Enfino. I think I was running the Shell against MC750. I was either running that or an Enfino Halfway. Regardless. I scratched it out. It sucked, but it's not hard to get 10.
I haven't looked at it today. I haven't looked for the solar lady out of California. She's pretty impressive. I've seen her at Dayton. I haven't sat for any of her interviews or whatever, but apparently she's got like two doctorates in science of sun. And she has a YouTube video, but I don't know what's going on with the sun lately. It's like flux of 99, barely 100, and you know, it's like we're supposed to be like at the downslope of the top of the cycle.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a downslope. It seems like a crash.
And it hasn't been very good with 10 meters either. I tried to activate on 10 meters a couple times and didn't get. But yet on cycle 23, around mid-90s, I was able to work all states. Now it's like when 10 meters is active, the band's like really long and yeah, I can easily work the West Coast or Europe, but I can't work any of the Midwestern states or anything local.
Connected to CMN Network.
Penny, DBF. You know, I haven't even tried the DX. I've tuned around a bit, but I haven't really heard anything. Trying to think the last DX I got. I was like Slovenia. 20 maybe, last year prior, I can't remember. That was on an FT710, so I don't think I'm going to be able to do much with a 705 anymore.
I worked Spain back a couple years ago with my 705. Let's see, on 20 meters. Just recently I worked Scotland. It's kind of weird. It was some guy from Lithuania, but he was in Scotland, and I went and looked at one of the parks that he activated, and he's like activated a lot, and so I thought, oh, I guess he must be doing work there.
Do you remember the call sign?
Oh, not off the top of my head, no.
I know there's a couple of hams on YouTube that, you said he's from Lithuania, though, so that's probably not him. But there's a couple of hams on YouTube that go overseas for work every now and again, and they go play POTA. I don't know if they play POTA. They play HF, I know that. I don't know if they're necessarily doing POTA, but then they'll make contacts back over here.
Okay, real good. I got to email that one guy, I think. Where's he at? Croatia? I forgot what country he's in. He makes a solid-state paddle. And I've got one down in my shack, but I wanted to buy another one. Keep in the mobile. It's a nice key. He advertises he has a brass-based one, but every time I've inquired about it, he's, like, sold out of them.
I've tried, like, three times to teach myself CW, and I fail every single time. I wish I could just learn just enough to go activate. I don't want to have QSOs. I literally just want to send call signs, part numbers, and signal reports.
Well, there's a Long Island CW Club. It's $90 for a lifetime membership or $30 a year. And they've got some kind of carousel program. Basically, the program doesn't have any starting date. And they'll teach you how to copy.
That's probably along the lines of what I'm going to need, because I tried the app, and when I'm doing it, like, I'm staying fresh, you know, I'm sure it's like everything else where you probably start to forget if you don't do it. When I'm doing it, I can send, I know what I'm trying to say, I have a hard time hearing it back.
Yeah, I don't use, I paper log. I don't use a app. I guess there's a couple of them out there. I think I have one of them on my phone. But I can start to hear people sending my name now.
Yeah, I didn't get to that point.
But it's 1991, I got my license, so I guess that's like 30-some years of practice.
I think that's the ticket, right? The more you do it, the better you get, the quicker you can copy, and the quicker you can send.
Yeah, I don't have problems sending my call sign, but I do have it like in a canned message on my 891, just so I don't make any mistakes, you know. Because I like to send it and make sure that they got it. And every once in a while, you know, you make mistakes, and it's hard to explain to them because you're doing it in code. It's loops, you know, except so get, and then do it that way. It's home, you made a mistake, and then send it over again.
That's actually a good idea to utilize the recording on the radio so you don't really have to key everything. You key it once, just listen back, make sure it's perfect, and then you can just make that.
I'll send the report with the key, but like when I'm trying to call through a pileup, I'll just keep hitting the button and let it send out my call. And it sends it out the same every time, so there's no mistake. But, yeah, but when it comes to the report, I'll key all that in, you know. If it's somebody I know, I'll say GM, and then their name, and then 599, and their state, and then I'll send my state, and then BK.
So you're not spelling out full conversations. I mean, you're sending just the bare bones that they need.
Yeah, 180 years, it's the original texting. I think it was pre-Civil War when it more so spelled, wasn't it?
Yes, I agree. Okay, so that gives me a little bit more confidence. I was worried that I was going to be doing what I'm doing to you, you know, with you right now via code. And I'm not to this degree, obviously, but I thought I was going to have much more coding and in-depth conversations. So if all I got to do is, you know, figure out calls, part numbers, reports, and then a couple quick, you know, step three and clear out and all that stuff, that I could probably figure that out. I should just get a paddle and start recording it on my radio and listening back.
You don't even have to do, it's basically you send back their state, and then you give them your signal report to 599, then I usually send in, IN, and then MI twice, and then BK, and that's it. That's all I send them, and they're good with that. If it's park to park, I don't even send out the park number, because that automatically gets picked up by the computer program.
All right, that makes it a little bit more streamlined. I was, like I said, I thought this was way more involved, so I'm going to have to start looking at this again. I got discouraged when I couldn't copy it. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to hear what they're saying. But if it's call signs, parts, and signals, I think I'll be able to figure that out.
Doing park-to-park code is the easiest CW conversation. The regular conversations are a little different, but Long Island will teach you that. But anyway, it's pretty streamlined. Like I said, it's the original texting. Original shorthand. Everything, there's nothing new under the sun.
All right, that's good to know. I need to start playing with that again because I keep seeing, I forgot who makes it. I think it's Telecraft. They make that like handheld PW rig that's got a telescopic antenna. Have you seen that?
Yeah, the KH-1.
Yeah, that's it. That would be like the sweetest thing ever to whip that out wherever I'm at and just start making QSOs all over the place with a handheld.
Yeah, that's a nice radio. I don't have access to the roof, and 1 liter was in one day if you go up there. But it was Thanksgiving weekend, and it was freezing up there. I made one contact to Minnesota.
Oh, you have that unit?
Yeah, I got one when they first came out, I think. Yeah, because I seen it, it's about 4 days in May. The guy was there, the Telecraft guy.
Is it all cracked up to be?
It's not bad. It's, the only thing I don't care for is the frequency increments. It goes up, every 2 kC. It doesn't go up, in single. Unless there's something in the settings I can change. But, yeah, I noticed it, like, skips up every 2 kC. So, you can't get, like, right on the same frequency as them if they're off a little or something.
Interesting. I wonder why they would not do that unless it's a hardware limitation.
Yeah, unless there's some settings, changing the settings.
NADDF, there could be. Like, yeah, I saw a YouTube short of that. I'm like, I want to learn CW and I want that. And then I tried learning CW and failed.
I just have to keep at it. I've got Morse machine in my phone. I haven't used it in a while, but that works well. Plus Morse Runner. If you could get Morse Runner for your computer, that's a bizarrely realistic. it's pretty wild. It has data crashes in it and all kinds of stuff.
I think I have Morse Mania on my phone, and it teaches you one letter at a time. It's got like, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of like Ham Studies app where it's got like segments and sections, and then it kind of measures your proficiency as you go.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, real good. There's one that's on AliExpress. I think you can find it on eBay too. I'm trying to think of the name of the thing. But anyway, it's made by a Chinese guy, and it's kind of neat because you can plug a key into it, and you can send a letter, and then you send it back, and it'll show the cadence. It'll show if your sending is off a little, or if, because it'll show like blue bars, and then your red bars are right underneath it, and if they don't all line up, and like your sending's off a little.
That's what I think I need is a key so I can actually get the physical touch and actually practice. Tapping a phone screen I don't think is really conducive to learning. I don't know, I could be wrong, but I feel like me holding an actual key would be easier for me to develop that muscle memory.
Yeah, the thing's called CW Pokemon, and my son says it's called a, and then on the side of it says HamCube Pro, but you can get them for $65-$70, the basic model, and it does a whole bunch of different things, but that's like one of the things is follow me, and it'll send out a letter, and then you got to send it, and you know, it'll go on, and you can expand it. You can have it send out numbers too.
CW Pokemon. I'm gonna look that up when I get to the office. What is a good cheap key to get into just for practice?
Just get the Venture. Get that black model Venture. They're pretty cheap. Yeah, and you can tweak it a little, you know, a little Allen wrench and have at it, get it to where where your fist feels pretty natural with it.
I get this set up at my desk at work when I have 5 seconds to my day.
Yeah, AliExpress has the CW Pokemon. If you type that in, or HamCube, I think it's called. Hold on a second. HamCube Pro. You can get them for, like, the basic model for, like, $65-$70. And it takes a while to get it, but I think it's really worthwhile.
Are you saying Cube, like Charlie Uniform Bravo Echo, or are you saying Q, like Quebec?
And Cube, like Charlie Uniform Bravo Echo.
All right, copy that. I'm going to look it up when I get to the office and maybe start the Slobo process.
Just type in CW Pokemon. Yeah, my son Nathan gets after me all the time. He says, that guy's, he's violating copyright. But it comes from China. What do you expect?
That's exactly what I expect if it's coming from China.
It's a ham over there that made it up, and it's an impressive little device. It's good for learning on. Especially to practice sending. I think there's some programs in there you probably can, practice dictation. But it's good for sending. Because, like I said, it'll show the cadence. Basically, they'll send out a letter, and then underneath there'll be some blue lines, and then you send it back, and you're sending. Yours will be the red lines, and if they don't line up, then your sending's off.
There's one thing I wish someone could just put into my brain that I learned and knew how to do, would be CW, no doubt. But on that note, I'm pulling into the office here finally. I feel like that drive took forever, but it took actually less time than usual. So good luck on your activation, and I'm sure I'll catch you in the morning. I'll listen out at 8 DDF.
Yeah, it's pretty close to my house. Actually, it's closer than Brownstown Prairie, 6636. This one, it's over in the Metro Park. Oakwood Metro Park, they got a spot over there that it's for the Escaclarian pick-up and drop-off, for the horse drop-off. And and then they have some pizza tables and a grill in the back. And so I took my measuring wheel and I measured from the trail to the grill, and it was like 80 feet. So the parking lot, anywhere in the parking lot is fair game for being 100 feet off the trail. 73-KG8-HX. Carlos. Forgot. It's 3.7 miles from my house, so it's like really close. KG8-HX.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WAVD Mobile.
On this one now?
Only for about 3 minutes. This is down County Line Road heading to the office.
That's fine. Probably the end of the rope for like an hour by the time you get to the office.
Yeah, we went to Naps last night. Almost called you over there in Richmond. It was pretty good. I had some chicken wings.
You should have called. Well, no, because Melissa didn't get home till late. She was doing stuff at her mom's house. So, we didn't eat till like 9 o'clock last night.
We were out of there by 7:30.
Well, I was home by 5:30, but she didn't show up till, you know, a couple hours later. She was selling some furniture out of her mom's house, and they came late.
Oh, very good. Hope it all goes well. Yeah, Marion's still fighting her debacle.
Yeah, same with Melissa, just trying to get stuff out of there before we throw them the keys. Say, here you go, we're done with it.
All right, I must leave you. I'm on the tarmac. Talk to you later. WA speeding.
All right, have a good one. Enjoy your meeting. 783, KCO. I just passed by your area probably about 10 minutes ago.
Home or the office?
Home. I'm in Durant now, or passing through Durant. Heading to Grand Rapids. I'm just like meandering out west. My co-worker's probably about a half hour behind me.
Yeah.
Just
take the scenic route?
No, I go the way my map tells me. M19 to 69 west. All the way into Grand Rapids. So, that's the way I go. Drop the kids off at the bus stop, and now you're heading down to the office.
Drop them off at 2 in the morning. Just drop them off and head around. One of them wasn't feeling good again this morning. But, working from home today, so I'm going to drop her off.
better than driving in this mess out here. Oh, did you get the Discord I sent you?
Graphics on it. You keeping all that, or you gonna keep the razor blade out and peel those off?
I'm gonna peel the stuff off the back window, but I'm keeping the dope in it, and I gotta get some funds together so I can change out the overheads to all amber white. I got a place I can get it from. About 1,200, so I gotta figure that one out. Once I do that, then I'm taking off all the other ones.
The overhead still red and blue, or they swap that out for something else?
Oh no, she's lit up like a Christmas tree. That's why I gotta take those ones down, and I can get the identical bar from this one place on eBay. For about 1,200, and it's refurbished, and it's all amber whites.
Yeah, I'm surprised they let it go with red and blues. Usually they don't like private citizens having that. Surprising. Yeah, they don't want to kick those on the wrong time.
Well, that's the thing. They're deactivated by a key switch, and the only person that has a key is me. So, and you can't use the key switch and drive the vehicle at the same time because they're on the same key ring. So there's no way for them to go on for any reason.
You're connected to CNN.
I know they had a key activated. They did that when they sold it, or was that service?
No, whoever bought the car at auction put in a key switch. And then the guy that I bought it from had the key for it. So he had it disabled, you know, because it was his son's car for school. I mean, it turns heads, but that's about it. I said they're all clear. So can't tell if they're, you know, what color they are until you actually activate them. If you don't have the key to activate them, then, you know, they're just there.
Yeah, you still get people's blood pressure going. we run ambers for when we do bike MS. We'll have ambers running, and you can run the whole time you're on the route, you know, so the riders know you're there. And we'll fall behind cars, and people just start pulling over on me, and I'm like, they start slowing down, and eventually they'll pull over, and it's like, what the heck, why are all these people pulling over? And then I realize, oh, it's because of my hammers on.
Yeah, there is another set of strobes in there that are on the top of the windshield inside and on the back window. But those are wired differently, and those are, that one there, I just flip a switch, and the lights come on.
Yeah, we just get some Amazon specials. We had a magnetic light bar for the roof that was fine, but then we had to get Enterprise rental trucks for it, so. Then they started getting all these aluminum F-150s, and the magnetic light bar doesn't work so well. And finally broke down last year and had some suction cup ones.
Yeah, I got one of the magnetic ones, too. I got a small one that I keep here in my work van, so when I'm working at a gate, I just throw it up there. And then I had a full-size light, you know, mag mount light bar. But YNU has that one, because he's the EC for Macomb. So he needed something, so I gave it to him.
Yeah, it worked out. And then the clay bars don't work so well on aluminum, so we don't need the big thread. that bag mounts.
Well, the ones I got are pretty strong magnets. And the thing is you can take those off and get super strong ones where it doesn't move. You know, so... But so far that one's fared pretty well.
Yeah, mine are pretty good magnets too, but no matter how strong the magnet is, it's not going to work on the aluminum.
Yeah, no. You're either going to have to mount it right to it with bolts and screws and rubber bumpers, or like you said, suction cup mounts. Make sure they're big ones too.
Yeah, you got one set that goes in the windshield and the other one that goes the backlight. So it worked out pretty good last year. Then the lip mount, the antennas, it's all good to go. But yeah, I don't think Enterprise would get too much if we start drilling holes in our car.
Yeah, no, they don't like that. I said that's why everything here is all mag mounts, is because they don't want me drilling holes in everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Enterprise wouldn't like anything we do to their cars, but what they don't know won't hurt them. It'll disconnect the battery and hook in a whole bunch of other radios and cell modems and all sorts of jazz. But it's a pretty elaborate setup.
Well, I got my Elenco 2 meter 440 already mounted in there, and I got a mag mount for that. I got my Motorola, I got to put my AXP in it, or my XPR, and there is an antenna up there, there's an antenna NMO mount. I just got to get the right one that I can connect to it, and then I'll have that one up there. But I'm looking at getting one of those little bullet antennas just to get it on the air.
I'm headed in the parking garage here. I'll say 73.
Yeah, I just pulled up to the rest stop. All right, take it easy, Lance. 73. KKKK.
And a QYQ mobile monitoring 1.
Connected to CMN Network.
K8PR. Good morning. N8QYQ. Name is Jay.
N8QYQ. Good morning, Jay. This is Phil. Papa Henry Angel Lima, how are you doing?
Well, anytime I get to roam around and play radio is a decent enough thing, but I'm doing pretty well. I took the day off of work to do a bunch of personal business stuff, including hopefully a little bit of MCOM volunteering, so I'm doing pretty well, you know. I've been, strange enough, looking forward to the day, so glad it's here.
Hey, you need those kind of days, especially when you're working. When you're retired, it's a different story. But, so we're just curious where you are and what kind of equipment you're using.
Yeah, I live here in the city of Detroit, not too far from Belle Isle, and currently mobile here in the car. I use a FCM 500 Yaesu. Absolutely love it. Great radio. And, yeah, just stopped by my son's house over in Grosse Pointe Park and headed over toward Roseville. And just finally, I live in the city and I work over in Livonia. And so I've got this commute that predominantly goes from, you know, just the east side of the city to the west. And the fact that I've had this radio in the car for a year, finally put some of the east side repeaters into it, Mount Clemens, this one, et cetera. So, yeah, nice to check.
Yeah, very good. Well, 500 is a good radio. I had the 400, and then I got the 300 for the car, which is the 400 in the house. And then I sold that and got the 310, which is sitting here in the car. I'm not talking on that right now. I got a commercial UHF Kenwood I'm talking on right now. So a little more power and such. And so you don't know if you're on the KAWI repeater, network of repeaters. And there's also the Siemens also is connected to this, so there's a lot of repeaters connected. And I have a repeater in the West Bloomfield area, which is currently being relocated, so it's just running from my house right now, but if you're on the west side, that's a good one to hit once it's back on where it should be.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to look for it. Let me know the frequency when you get a moment. Bloomfield normally reachable from Livonia and what have you, so... I play around with, you know, aside from the normal curiosity that all of us have over coverage areas and what we can reach and those kinds of things, I'm also in the midst of a project to build a WinLink RMS node and a distributor iGate at the Masonic Temple downtown Detroit. And so I've been a little more curious about coverages, ranges, et cetera, doing a lot of coverage testing, especially with APRS and such, over the last, I'd say, couple months as I've been working to put the project together, and so it's definitely been interesting.
Okay, sounds good. My repeater is 442.5. With the same PL, just 123. I'm hoping to have it back up in the air within the next couple months. The wheels of the progress are turning slowly. But anyways, so you're down near Indianville, those area maybe? I knew somebody lived down there for a while.
Yeah, just a little bit east of there, 8 blocks east of Indian Village, Mac and Cadillac area. And I'm fortunate enough to have almost a half acre of land. And so it gives me some room for some long wire antennas and things like that. So I can do HF from 160 on up, which is great. So yeah, about a mile and a half from the Belle Isle Bridge and just east of Indian Village.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I've got a half acre. I live in Sylvan Lake, which is next to Pontiac. And still a little tight. I've got a tower with a motorized crankover and just fits. It's kind of, I got it so it angles, and I just lower it down inside the yard, barely. And I've got a long wire that actually has a vacant lot next to me, and the owner let me use one of their trees in there, so I got to go on across two lots for to use for like 80 meters and such.
That's great. Don't have a tower yet, although I picked up a rotator at one of the slots recently, so I got some hopes for the future. But I am fortunate in that these 100-year-old Detroit houses, the peak of the roof line is a good 35 feet, and so, you know, at least 30, and so I've got a dual-band X300 diamond that I can work pretty much any repeater in the county on 5 watts on a tough day, or if I'm trying to reach out into one of the other counties, maybe mid-power. Rarely ever need high power unless I'm trying to hit Ann Arbor or something else. And so I've been really fortunate with that. And between the couple of wire antennas, I do pretty well with that. I've been a general since about a year ago. And I've worked in 83 countries between sideband and FTA. And so it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. And then, like I said, the last couple of months I've been pretty on building this project downtown, and so lots of configuration and testing and whatever, but I have done the same thing that you've done with your repeater. I've got the, I use that base station at home for testing, and so I've had others use it and such, but hilariously it's, 35 feet when the project's going to be up at about 210 when I get it done.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, having high roofs is good. My old house, it was had a very steep roof, but it was too steep to go up on, so I never even really put. I did put an antenna on the chimney once, and that was scary. So I ended up putting up a tower alongside the house that just basically cleared the roof. It was basically a replacement for the roof, but the easy access. So, and that's kind of funny. There's this guy out in West Bloomfield I've seen. He's got a tri-band on his roof, just off the roof. But his property is, I think, a good maybe 10 feet higher than the neighbors on each side of him. He obviously built that up, and, stay within the legal limit of what they could do out there. You know, they're very restrictive about towers and stuff. So I think it's kind of funny.
So he built a big ant mound so that his height above ground level isn't all that much, right? That's great. That's a smart move. The height matters. It's interesting because being in the city, I am a member of the Sun Parlor Club over in Leamington, Ontario. And, so when I travel over there, it's slightly downhill from the, from the river. So once I cross over into Canada, you can still from Leamington do pretty well, especially for the higher profile repeaters. That ground elevation helps a lot.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Height above average terrain. All right, just getting on the expressway here, heading to work. I just work part-time, mostly retired. Curious what your line of work is, KAPR.
Yeah, I lead technology teams at a pet retailer, and so most focused on e-commerce and mobile apps and marketing technology, things like that. And so that's the day job, although, I've been doing quite a bit of, starting to get more involved in some of the emergency communication volunteerism and things like that. Actually working with the Detroit Emergency Operations Center in the hopes that we can get ham radio reestablished as a formal position there in the DOC. So hoping to get out there this afternoon, if all things work out.
Yeah, well, which UOC is that?
City of Detroit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what they've got. I know McComb is very active, and I'm a part of the Elgin County ARPSC. We work out of the EOC in Elgin County, and I know they appreciate us quite a bit. They haven't had to use us for much lately, but they support us completely, which is really nice.
Yeah, I've heard that McComb's really active, and met a couple few folks, certainly a number of folks on the air, which has been great. And so, yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. I just really started getting, started to attend the Wayne County weekly nets and things like that later in the fall of last year, and got pretty serious about the Passbook position training and such, and I've got, I guess, all of the level one and a good bit of the level two that I am hoping to get our EC to sign off on pretty soon, next time I see him. And, it's been a lot of fun, interesting stuff, and then on top of it, the WinLink node and such is a nice add-on for the city. We really don't have anything in the downtown area, and so it leaves this donut hole shaped space, so just nice stuff worth working on.
Yeah, that's something I got to work on, WinLink. I've never gotten into it yet, and I know they're really big on it out in Elgin County, so maybe one of my next projects, really get into that and understand it. Shouldn't be any problem connecting to my radios. I've already got most of that set up for FT84 and all that stuff, so shouldn't be an issue. And the Macomb County, you hear a lot of the Macomb County guys on this system. They're very active here.
That's great. Neat group of people and lots to learn. And I've been able to help a couple of the Wayne County ARPSC members in terms of getting through the HS-based WinLink task in their task book. And so it's been great. It's fun. I keep saying I don't do this because I'm an expert. I do it because I'm a student, and I'm learning along with everybody else, and it's been good. But I am pulling up to my next stop. And, Phil, it was great to chat with you. I don't know if we have chatted before or not, but nice to talk this morning, and appreciate the time. I'll listen out for your final, but say 7-3 for now, N8QYQ.
All right, Jay. No, I don't believe we've talked before. At least, not in my memory banks here, which are becoming less reliable as we get older. So, all right. Catch you later. Enjoy your day. Try to stay dry. I'm not doing a very good job of it out here, and I'm in Troy right now. 7-3. This is KAPR.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KK7 CK tested.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KK7 CK tested.
Connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.
TTL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Okie doke.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Got a toy.
Donald, check whatever radio you got running.
I'm sorry, was that me doing that? All right. I apologize. I didn't know what was going on there. W8RCY. Yeah, we're clear. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, keeps keying up, blasting some sort of packet. Sounds like some sort of a ANI thing or something. So, you got something probably on your handheld radio you're using on your node is doing.
Okay, I realized where I was in the radio, and I didn't know that was doing it, so I just got to figure out why it's doing it, because there's some extra things in here that were put in here when Wally last updated it, and now I know not to do it. Again, wasn't intentional. I apologize. W8RCY, have a good afternoon.
Like every other appointment, it breeds more appointments, but yeah, I ain't got nothing else to do, so how'd Andrea's appointment go?
Connected to CMN Network.
Good, I guess. I mean, we're in and out of the appointment quick, and then she had to go get a whole bunch of tests done. Those are starting to trickle in, but all in all, nothing terribly shocking.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar. You go see a doctor and you get a million tests done.
Anyways, did you end up taking the day?
I did. I'm still in the, for another hour and a half, I'm still taking it. Bitches is I didn't do anything productive with it.
Well, you slept. You slept her down to the doctor. That's something. I mean, can't discount that. Give yourself some credit.
You ever get so good at a talent that it's just no effort? I consider that with schlepping.
No, I'm not really that good at anything.
Well, there you go. Oh, hold on. I'm hearing grunts and groans coming out of the front room.
You know, I take that back. I am pretty good at mediocrity. N-A-N-M.
We're having a crisis here over a Chewy order.
Ruh-roh.
I'm down to 120-pound dog, and somehow Andrea managed to order a $185 order from Chewy.
Well, that's one spoiled little dog.
I should request that Sean's wife orders my DoorDash orders for me, then.
Well, this $185 order just came, and it's in a box that, a small box that she's capable of lifting. You order $185 worth of anything from Chewy, you better take two men in a truck.
That doggy eating filet.
I swear to God, this is better than weed. I gotta look this up to see what could possibly be this expensive.
That's outrageous.
In the 60s and 70s, I grew up with two St. Bernards, and my father and some of my previous family members, as well as myself, have all worked in the meat cutting industry, and we bring home bones and extra things for the dogs to eat. But the St. Bernards themselves could eat you out of house and home if they wanted to, or if you fed them really well. And that was the 60s and 70s. I can imagine what it would take to feed a St. Bernard today. And if you go by the rate of inflation, $180+ may not be enough to feed one St. Bernard. But a 20-pound dog? Ah, I'll let the St. Bernards find out about that. They are definitely eating like royalty. W-8-R-C-Y.
I don't even want to think about what we spend on Chewy a month. I'm glad I don't have to.
Badlands Ranch Superfood, complete grain-free beef air-dried dog food, 64-ounce bag, $104.89.
Does it have kibble in it? Because I saw this commercial with this little cartoon Jewish doctor guy, and he's pretty spry. He jumps, like, across aisles in the supermarket, and he says kibble's, like, really bad. It kills your pets, so I don't eat the stuff myself.
I'm beginning to think the dog, you know, with some of the computers that probably Sean has around the house, learned how to use the computer, and perhaps one day a credit card out of Sean's wallet or his wife's purse was just laying around, and I figured maybe the dog said, if I take this little piece of plastic and I punch these numbers onto this keyboard, I can order something really nice for myself from Chewy. So I would be suspicious of the dog first.
That's a good point, Dad. I hadn't considered the thieving dog angle.
I'm just looking this stuff over now, wondering if this is what I should start eating. Good grief. I can put it in a little container and call it Factor.
There you go. I'm going to start feeding the cats Kishka. N8NM, the carrying station.
My eye is twitching over this.
The blue one or the brown one?
They're oscillating. This dog food is, let's see, $1.64 an ounce.
You know, everything's relative. What's the shot of Jameson's go for? Pam suggested we start day drinking.
Oh, well. Unbelievable. When I saw the charge on the card, I thought, holy cow. She said, well, she ordered a much larger bag than usual. So I expected when the box got here, I expected it to be, need 2 men and a truck to lift it. You know, if you ordered that much. But, good Lord, this is the most, God, what they can do with marketing.
Yep. And they do push that high-end stuff. I've been noticing it. It seems like a fairly new phenomenon, all of these boutique brands of pet foods that are outrageously priced and, you know, made in a big pot by old Bouches somewhere in Romania, secret recipe, you know, one of those deals. It's probably no better than the stuff that they were feeding them before with all the sawdust and byproducts in it, but good for the bottom line anyways. But like, even regular cat food, you know, the regular size bag, or what I consider the regular size bag, which is probably a big bag if you only have one cat, but we've got two, of, I think it's, what is it, Pro Plan that we get them? It's $32. It's like, geez. It's a good thing you guys can eat mice. And it's really disappointing when they turn around and puke it up all over the floor.
Yeah, puke's almost $2 an ounce.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do with it except pick it up and flush it or throw it away, whatever. You can't eat it or make anything of it. I suppose you could in prison, but that's a whole different story.
This is my style. Yeah, Red Barn Naturals beef recipe dog food roll, 64 ounces. $14.02. That's my speed.
Hell yeah. What's 64 ounces of hamburger go for these days?
That's a very good point. All right. Anyhow, I got to shake out of here for a few. I'll be back. W8FU.
Yep, just getting ready to start the ball game, so I'm settling in. I'll be around. N8NM.
Or do you subscribe somewhere?
We get it. Well, today's is on Channel 2, but we get it through DirecTV streaming.
Roger, yeah, got nowhere I can watch it, except for the ones that are broadcast. All right, catch you in a bit. W8FU.
W8RCY, we're clear to go see you at the ball game.
KPR.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8B. Good afternoon, Wally. What's up?
Not much. How you doing? Leaving the Troy Motor Mall, heading towards Staples.
Maple and where?
Maple and Maple Lawn.
Oh, in Troy. Okay. Not too far from where I just left.
Oh, very good. Have you talked to Sean lately?
Sean who?
You know, the guy with the weird call sign.
Oh, funny unicorn. Yeah, no, I have not.
My HT was his HT, so I gave his HT to him, and you and him are going to bump pass, and he'll let you play with it a little bit.
All right, yeah, sounds good. I might try and actually hook it to my outside antenna in the car and drive around. I'll have to put one of those diplexers on that. It's dual band on the roof, but I'm only using a UHF radio, so I can put a diplexer on it.
That's how I did it at home. I got a UHF and a VHF and a dual band antenna outside, and I just split it at the radio. Works pretty good.
Alright, let me see how that works. So, what else is going on? It wasn't raining, but now I'm driving. As I drive further west, it's in there. Starting to come down.
It looks ominous, but it's just rain, I'm sure. I'm looking south on Crooks and Maple. And it looks rain, so I'm sure going to run into it.
Yeah, it's heading that way. So, anyways, playing around with something. I don't know. You do much with HF at all?
That is one paradigm I have not gotten into yet. Although it is in my long-term goals, but not yet.
My issue is I've got this nice Sidecom amplifier, and I've got a Yaesu HF radio, and I'm trying to get the amplifier to follow the radio with the band switching, but they use two different protocols, and I found a board that interfaces that will convert one to the other, and I've been playing around with that, and that seems to work. I got to finish my installation. My testing seems to work like it's supposed to.
Yeah,
need help, that would be a Sean or a BB question. He's big into that stuff, too. I can't help you on that one, but hopefully you'll get it. You get everything you work with your mind to.
Yeah, no, I don't think I need help with it. It's just kind of cool. I finally found something that will do it. Gazer uses what they call ABCD band switching, where in combinations of those four leads going to ground, their external equipment to the right band, whereas ICOM uses a kind of what they call CIV, kind of like an internet protocol thing with the address. I like 20 meters. I get the most contacts there, it seems like. I haven't been doing hardly anything lately. I've just been busy with other stuff, but I'm going to try to get back into a little more.
Have you gone with VSI to any of the POTA things that they do? They do quite a bit of those over there in, I think, Lake Orion Park. I think Eagle Mountain or Eagle, Bald Eagle or something like that. They're always talking about that. Have you ever went with those guys?
I've dropped in on them occasionally. Didn't do any operating or anything like that, but saw what they had going.
Yeah, when that bug finally bites me, I think that's probably where I'm going to head. I'm going to head over there and start asking questions. But so far, that bug hasn't hit me. All the digital bugs and the All-Star bug and the Pi-Star bug and all that other stuff, that's bit me. Lately, I've been just infatuated with the All-Star node. That's been kind of fun. When I go on my evening walks, I've been trying to get little antenna to cover the neighborhood, and I think I've got it mastered. And I was also trying to do it with private to make sure that if I messed up, it didn't start doing strange things. I got it to work one way, but not the other way. So I'm halfway there, halfway to perfection.
Okay, the Scott 6 dropped out again. Captain, you okay? Okay, it's back.
How much of my conversation did you get?
I got all of it because I switched over to my repeater and you can hear it. So, that was interesting. Are you on dot 6? Were you truly, was that last transmission on dot 6?
It was. I think I'm in Clawson right now, so I think it's the only one I can hit.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because it continued on the network, but the transmitter dropped out. So I had to switch over to another repeater to hear the rest of your comments. So it's not the whole connection, it's just the transmitting side that drops. I wonder if Sean's aware of that.
I was dragging my feet waiting for him to chime in. He's always listening.
That big brother may not be talking, but he's listening. All right. So, yeah, I like, it's funny, I like the digital stuff on VHF, UHF, but not on HF. I don't care for, like, FT4, FT8 too much. I've used it, but I don't care for it.
That's one of the cool things about this. Did I tell you I got an email from the Tate rep said that they're claiming they're going to have the scan routine fixed on this thing next month. They're going to have it MPSCS approval and the scan routine fixed. We shall see. It's set in May.
Okay, so you'll be able to scan P25 and DMR at the same time. Is that correct?
Let's word it mildly. That's what the email said.
No, that should be real interesting. That would be a big, big plus if it does that.
The commercial radio that became a ham radio.
Yeah, Kate, dear. I'm surprised they would even consider that. I mean, how many, because, you know, they're selling to the commercial market and municipalities. And, I mean, who would ever, in that realm, would ever want to do both?
That's what I thought, you know, but then again, they could have one radio and they could just sell, looking at the Motorola word, they could just sell the entitlements. And so if you're a DMR customer, it could sell you a DMR entitlement. If you're a P25, it can sell you a P25 entitlement. And you can have all the radios you want as long as it's this radio. So, you know, the radio and then charge up the yang-yang for the entitlement. And then one radio does it all. And, you know, in the long run, that would simplify things. You know, especially from a production or manufacturing standpoint, repair standpoint, you know. Kind of like Southwest. We only buy 737s, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's right. I forgot about that. That Southwest does it. They have stock parts for one machine. So how come they're always in trouble?
I'm not sure about that. I don't mind flying them. Came back from St. Louis yesterday on a 717. I didn't think those were still in the air. An old Airtram 717. I recognized it. And on the way off the bird, I said to the pilot, I said, this is an Airtram plane, isn't it? He goes, yes, sir. I figured they would have all been houred out by now. But there was actually one or two of them still in the sky. Came back on a 717-200.
Yeah, when you say Airtram, I mean, isn't 717, isn't that Boeing?
Yeah, but Airtram bought a whole bunch of them years ago. Airtram, I think that's what it was called. Yeah, 717 is Boeing, but yeah, that was the name of the, like Delta, you know, the airline carrier that bought a lot of them. And then when they went out of business, they sold all their 717s to Delta because Airtram sold to Southwest. And Southwest didn't want any of the 717s.
Okay, yeah, I was on a 717 recently. Where was? Oh, I think it was the plane it took. Lion Air from Maui to Honolulu. I think it was a 717.
Bungee cord or something?
I don't know, it was damaged from something, but they were still flying it, you know. Like I said, when you get down there, nobody cares as long as the engine starts.
Yeah, that's strange. I don't think I'd get in that plane. But, all right, well, I'm just about home, so we'll talk to you later. Hey, this is, now it's really coming down. All right, keep your eyes open. WADDKPR.
Have a good evening. Talk soon.
WADD.
Connected to CMN Network.
KCAKJL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
QYQ mobile monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
The rain has stopped. Yes. KCAKJ Mobile.
FGS monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
3FC1, listening.
FQN, this is GBA, copy.
This is KFA, FQN, was it GBAA, correct?
KFA, GBA, Tom from Birch Run. Over.
I don't know why I said GBA, there's no number in that. KFA, GBA, yeah? How's it going, Tom?
Hey, not too bad. I needed to talk to you real quick, because since I last talked to you, I put a 50A diamond antenna up on a 30-foot flagpole, and I just want to ask you how much better does it sound than the last time I talked to you. Over.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, you sound extremely clear, and I hear basically no static between your voice and static. Your signal to noise ratio is pretty good. Yeah, you sound much better than last time.
Hey, that's what I wanted to hear. Thanks a lot, partner, because I've got maybe close to $500 into everything after I had to put the pole up and put everything in and get, I got LMR 400 coax for it, you know, the best you could buy for this type here, and just wanted to make sure that all this work I put into it, that it's worth the effort. Over.
Yeah, I think you said it at Diamond X50A, since obviously you know the same one I have, and you basically have the same setup besides the flagpole. I'm using the LMR 400 with the Diamond X50. And yeah, they're good antennas. I really like them. I've seen some YouTube videos now. I might not be true for all radios and all antennas, or all Diamond X50s, but generally the SWR is pretty low on them.
Well, this part here for ham radio, you know, I'm new to and I'm learning a lot. In the CBs, it seems like you have a good antenna, and you always want good coax no matter what you're doing. But it seems like with CBs, if you have more power, you do a little better. But, you know, here they say height is might. And, you know, so it's kind of a different road to go down and travel for me. But the only way I did this, I went to the AI, the artificial intelligence, and just asked what would be the, like, economical setup that won't cost too much, but still I can get still decent results with. And the AI steered me in this direction here, and I'm really happy with what I got. Over.
Oh, yeah, that's what I used for, like, when I was making my ham go kit. Or it was kind of like a signal intelligence thing, you can say. It was just kind of a cool project. They did. I use AI. But yeah, definitely steering you in the right direction. Then you sound really good, and the CV, I have a CV radio. It's a small Cobra HH3, it's a handheld. But I think that's, I don't know too much about CV. I know it's generally true. I don't know too much, but I'm kind of used to ham radio where the antenna, the height and the antenna matters, but I'm pretty sure also because I think CB is 24, I could be completely entirely wrong on that, maybe 26 megahertz, somewhere in that like small, like 4 megahertz like range. That's probably why too, because you can still, even with like a basic CB antenna, you can skip off dynosphere, like HF, and have long distance comms, so that's probably why. And then the power is to get over that static, I'm assuming.
Back in the day, a lot of people used to talk skip, and they would, like, you know, your waves would skip across the country. And other people would catch it, and they would talk back. And I guess, you know, it has to be at a certain time, you know, when everything's right. And that's how a lot of people used to do it back then. I never done it personally myself. I just got me a decent antenna, and I had a unit in radio for a channel for the car, and I just put it in the house and put me a decent antenna up with it, and it did okay. But when I moved to my next house, they already had an antenna up on a old TV tower, and that was nice. That was real nice. I could get out real good on that one. But ham radio is way better. You know, this is way better. I like hitting the repeaters and being able to talk a lot farther out. Over.
Yeah, and there's so many more possibilities on ham radio. Like, you got FT8, all these different modes. You have, like, a full HF band. And, yeah, FFTV, everything. And for me, this is my opinion. TV is a kind of a... I mean, it's, like, really... Obviously, it's an organized citizen band. And there's a lot of, you know, there's not really that much rules on that. So it's, you know, a crap show on that. Kind of why it's for amateur radio, too. It's more organized and there's more controlled, I'd say. I think that actually the thing when you're talking about skipping and stuff, you can go on, you know, you probably already know what QRZ, QRZ.com, and that tells you the space weather. And you search up space weather on Google, and if you want, you can dive into that. That's how TV radio signals skip off the atmosphere, the ionosphere. That's what it skips off of. But yeah, it's got to be certain, it's got to be, so it's called a KP index, and that's how still the ionosphere is. And if it's shaky, your signals get distorted and stuff, and then it's got to be a certain SFI, which is like, you can imagine it like a mirror, that ionosphere, and SFI is how shiny the mirror is. That has to be a certain amount, and then there's so much other stuff. But yeah, just look up space weather, and sadly, I don't have any links for you, but you can learn a lot about that if you want.
Yeah, okay, I copy that. A lot of times I go to, ChatGPT, and ask the AI, you know, and so far, like I say, so far it's directed me with my, because I'm only using my Biofang 5-watt radio right now till I can get me something a little better here pretty soon. I'm taking my time, and I'm not rushing anything. I'm taking my time, trying to let things soak in. Learn slower and better instead of fast. You know, you learn too fast, you miss some things. So as I've gotten older, I've learned just to slow down and start enjoying things more too. I used to be a drywaller and a painter, and you're always speeding to get things done, you know. And it's a hard habit to break, to stop and slow down and learn something like this here. And, but I go to the AI, and like I say, so far that ChatGPT has been pretty good. Like I say, I got a pretty decent setup right now. And, so I go to that for a lot of my information on stuff like that there. And I tell you what, I'm really happy that they have something like that now, because man, back in the day, you had to go find books and read up on it and stuff like that. And I don't think it was as fun as, the AI is over.
Yeah, even better. Just go on ChatGPT and search up space weather if you want again. But, I still read a book about ham radio. Where is it? It's called Ham Radio for Dummies. And it basically, maybe at your local library, if there's one near you, that's really interesting because it like literally tells you everything there is to know about ham radio, like all the basics, like signal propagation, stuff like that. That's a good one. Yeah, the AI is just so much easier. It's quicker, like what you said and stuff, and it can be wrong sometimes. I don't know about you, but for me, it is. It can be wrong with like code and stuff, stuff like that. That's kind of like what I for my satellite. I think I told you about that. I kind of do 50% or 70% me and 30% AI. But yeah, it's definitely useful for this hobby.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Well, the way I see that, my friend, is it's okay for the AI to be wrong sometime because really that pushes us not to be lazy, you know, not just to just take it for its, you know, what it is. Sometimes you have to, you know, do your homework and check in other ways too. And so really, it's good that sometimes the AI might be off because then it makes us find other possibilities and other tools that we can use besides just depending on the AI also. Like when I was truck driving, my instructor told me, you know, a GPS is nice. They're good to have, but don't rely on just your GPS. You have other tools in your toolbox, like maps and different things, even people. You can talk to people. You know, you have tools. Use all your resources. Don't just rely on one thing. Use all your resources in your toolbox. And chances are you'll succeed, you know. So that's what I did out on the road. When I was out on the road, I would check the GPS, see what it had to say, but I would also go to a map and map myself out and take a look at that also, you know. So the way I see that is the AI just helps us find other tools in our toolbox to use to keep us moving forward. Over.
Amen to that. Never thought of it that way. Yeah, you're 100% right. You can't rely on that stuff, like GPS. So, yeah, never thought of it that way, actually. That kind of opened up a new thing for me.
Well, young man, I hope it did because, you know, that's something that I've learned through my time. I've got over a 500,000 miles under my belt driving commercial truck. I've been in it probably 9 to 10 years, you know, total through my life. And, you know, anytime you got to use everything you got, you know, use everything you got. And I'm telling you, It just makes your life easier this way here. Always, if you got a plan A, if you can, make a plan B just in case. Because plan A don't work out, no sweat, man. We'll go to plan B then, and we'll do that for now. Then we'll go back to plan A. One day it'll work out, you know. But I always say use all the tools in your toolbox and always have a plan A and a plan B just in case, you know, because life is always unexpected. And really, does life ever really go the way we want? Sometimes yes, but most of the time it don't. Life does what it wants, you know. But if you could be half prepared for it, at least you're, you know, got half the battle won. Over.
That's a good thing for really anything, like projects. Especially, I can kind of infer that, use that wrong, but you know what I mean, to like one of my projects, the Sat Leo. I think, what was it, my 3D printer, didn't print the parts about a centimeter too big, then all the rest of the side panels, so I already made a plan B for that and melted a little that like 1 centimeter extra width off and hit Berkeley. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the way I try to do it, you know, most of the time. Sometimes it works out pretty good, you know. When it does, it's really like a victory, a win. And when it don't, like I say, well, you learn something from that. Failure, listen, failure is not bad. Failure teaches you one thing. Don't do it that way again. You know, that's the way I see it. So a lot of people say I failed. I'll say, no, you just didn't get it right this time. You know, but we all fail. I mean, you know, we're all going to fail. We fail. But the main thing is, you know, one day you go back, you'll get it right, you know. But it's when you keep making, repeating the same mistake over and not learning, that's where the problem is, you know. But life is always about learning, you know, I feel. And I try to learn something every day, or I try to help somebody every day, something positive like that every day. I try to do something like that every day. Even if I could give advice to somebody and help them, I try to do that every day because it just makes me feel better for one. And if I give somebody some advice and it works out, man, hey, I tell you what, that's a plus for everybody. Over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Which, I mean, you've been giving me very useful advice. You know, I still remember our last conversation and the advice you gave me. But, hey, I have a question for you. When did you get your license? I was curious.
Ham radio license I got on March 11th. Like I told you before, I'm relatively new to this. I've done maybe three net meetings, I think, three or four net meetings. I've talked to people in Mount Clemens and Southfield, Hudsonville, and Millington. They have, at Monday at 5, they have a net meeting, and it's from Hudsonville, and I've talked to them and introduced myself and tried to kind of get myself out on the airwaves a little bit here and, you know, trying to learn, you know, GBA. See, I forgot to do my call sign every 10 minutes. GBA. You know, trying to learn and catch on and get rid of my old CB habits, you know, because I've talked on the CB since the 80s. You know, since I've been like 18, 19. I'm 63 now, and I've talked on there probably since I've been 18, 19 years old, I bet. And, you know, so sometimes I'm talking on the radio like I am now, and the OCB stuff tries to come back out. But I'm telling you, ham radio's way better. CB's nice when you're out on the road, you're driving, and there's an accident or there's, you know, traffic's bad. You can find out what's going on usually. But otherwise than that, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of riffraff on there. Ham radio reminds me of back in the 80s when you could get on the CB and spark up a conversation with a lot of people and have a good time. And that's what ham radio today reminds me of, because you can't do that on the CB now. You know, you can get, I get on there, find out what's going on with the traffic and all that, and then I don't turn it off if I'm driving. But I just don't participate in what's going on, because you'll hear some stupid stuff on there, and it's, that's not what life is about. Life is about right here with this radio, you know, people talking, sharing information, and, you know, enjoying somebody's company. Over.
That's kind of what I meant about CB, yeah. It reminds me of, like, 7.2. That's like the CB, or I think it's a bit worse than CB, in my opinion. 7.2 on ham radio bands. That's where all the bad operators go. But yeah, that's why I like amateur radio too better, because you can have normal, civilized conversations on here without people talking over each other, some guy using 4,000 watts of power trying to muffle you and stuff. It's a lot better, and there's so many, CB has a lot of other radios and stuff, cool radios, but I feel like ham radios are, in my opinion, a lot more diverse and stuff. and things like that.
Yeah, like I say, it used to be good back in the day. It still is now. I've met people. I've met people on there. Not lately, because I haven't been. I've been off the road for a while. But you know, you can still meet people on there. Still talk to people. It's just, you know, man, if you ever go through, what is it, I-80, going through Indiana, getting ready to go into Illinois, into Chicago, and all that. I used to call it the comedy hour. Because you are going to hear language and people talk to each other. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, really, this is what you got the radio for? You know, but a lot of it, to be honest with you, are truck drivers who are having a bad day, and they want to take it out on somebody, and they're letting it out. A lot of times it's just truck drivers letting it out on each other out there. They're having a bad day, they're having a bad trip, and, you know, they're alone. They have nobody to really talk to at times. Well, now with the phone, it's kind of different. But back in the day, they didn't really have the phone to turn to. You either had to go into a truck stop and talk to somebody, or you had to stop and call somebody, you know. So the closest thing was a CB. And some guys, when they're having a bad day, believe me, they take it out on everybody out on the airwaves out there. And, you know, you understand, but you don't. You know, I mean, if you've ever been in a truck and you've ever been under the pressure that some of them guys are under, you'd understand, you know, but you can't take it out on everybody else out there, you know. Over.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, they, I mean, they didn't do anything wrong, yeah, like around here in Emily, I was in the Channel 1. Channel 1 or Channel 2? I don't know. No. Channel 6. Channel 6 is the worst with language, too. There's a lot of people cussing each other out and stuff, and making death threats. But it's always that. I don't know where it comes from, too, because it's like the same people every day. You know, doing that regularly. And, yeah, I'll hear them on, I think it's like, they're always on like 5 to 6, and then they'll just get off, yeah. Oh, also, wait, what radio are you connected to, like, right now, like, with your Diamond X50?
GBA. Right now, I am using my, Biofang K6. I have, it's a TID radio H3 that's a little bit better, and it seems to hit the repeaters better than my Biofang, with just a regular antenna. I haven't hooked that up, to my Diamond yet. So, this here is my Biofang, and it's not the best, seems like, radio. So, that's why I did this one first, because I wanted to see, here's how I look at it, has. If I get my, not-so-good radio, or the one that's not better, or whatever. We'll say the least radio. And I put that on, and everybody tells me it sounds good, then I know for sure my H3 should really sound a whole lot better, you know. And I'll talk to you again when and I'll have my H3 on, and I'll tell you when I got it on. And then you can kind of let me know if it sounds a little better. I think it will. I think it'll sound a little bit better than this one I got now, but it's a Biofang K6 I'm on now. Over.
Your audio quality sounds great on that. And I was actually just going to say, later on, I would suggest getting an Anytone 778. It's a mobile radio, and you can use it in your car if you want. It's going to bad mouth. Or you can, it works. Like, that's my setup. Right now I'm transitioning on the Anytone 778. That's hooked up to the Diamond X50. This radio performs beautifully. It's got a colored screen. It's got your S meter on it, which basically tells you the signal strength. And very easy to program. You can use Chirp, which is a very easy software to use. The only thing you need is you're using a power supply, or you know what I mean, a a base station, is he finding a cheap power supply? I wouldn't recommend cheap, but I recommend, like a mid-range, mid-price range. It doesn't really matter about price so much, but quality. Power supply, and then, yeah, you just gotta wire that on, which is really easy to find the T-connector type wires. And it's a great radio. It's on the cheaper side, you can say. It's about $200-something dollars. Maybe $100. I'm not sure. I think it's maybe like $100. And yeah, it's a really nice quality radio. Maybe later on, when you're ready, you can get this for a beginner type radio, because I've had it for about 3 months now, and I love it.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I'm always usually a middle of the road with price range on things. You know, I don't buy the best. I don't buy the cheapest. I usually go in the middle of the road, and I do pretty good with middle of the road, I feel, you know. And besides, you know, I can't afford, you know, you always want to buy the best, of course, man, you know, but sometimes life tells you what you can do, what you can't do, you know. And so I've learned to kind of listen to him, you know, what I should do and what I want to do, of course. So, I'm gonna upgrade here pretty soon. Like I say, I'm just waiting to, get warmed up to this right now. I mean, I'm so glad to talk to you. That's why as soon as I heard you come on, I said, well, I gotta holler at him, because he knows exactly what my last radio antenna sound like, you know, so I gotta give you a holler, you know. So I was glad to hear you come across, and, I'm glad to hear that, you know, it sounds pretty decent, because I'm using a Biofame mic, too, that's plugged into the radio. So I got the radio kind of like zip tied to my desk, so it won't move at all, and then I got a mic like you have on a CD, a Biofame mic, and I'm using that. Over.
Yeah, Dan, you sound great on that Biofame. I've never actually, I'm going to say, like, without a doubt, you have the best signal quality, signal to noise ratio, and, like, audio quality in general I've ever heard with somebody using a Biofame. Especially for that model of radio, you sound extremely good. If you don't mind me asking, how far are you away from the repeater you're going on?
I'm heading 442-200, the Burt repeater. I live in Burt's Run, and Burt's like the next little, place over from me, going southwest. I could throw a rock and hit Burt. That's how close I am to Burt. And I believe it's towards Montrose, and I'm about, 6 miles? Maybe 8 miles from Montrose. So I think I'm about 8 miles away from the repeater. Over.
Yeah, you sound really good then. 8 miles, that's good. Not 8 miles. Yeah, I'm actually really not sure at that, because I can barely hit, his name's Dakota, I forgot his call sign. He set up kind of a base and kind of hooked up to a all-star node that's connected to the FBI network. And with my ET, I can... And so we found spots, like, outside of my property where I can actually hit it good. And, yeah, with the repeater being 8 miles away from you and using a Biofame, that's really impressive.
Yeah, like I say, it's only 5 watts, you know. It's only a 5-watter, and I've been thinking about getting a 25 or a 50-watt, you know, next, probably. And that should go, I'm thinking, pretty good. But, you know, I'm looking at the LMR 400 coax, and that is really, really some thick stuff. And the AI give me two, you know, they give me A and B. You know, you could go with the LMR 400, and I forgot what the other one was, but it was a little cheaper. And it said, now, LMR 400 is going to be your best bet. You know, but if you want to go cheaper, you know, because I told him, you know, I got to do this on a budget. I can't, you know, can't spend a bunch of money. You know, I got bills to pay, you know, so they kind of give me two options too, you know. But I know one thing. I know one thing. Your coax, even in CBs, your coax is everything. You don't want no loss in your coax ever, you know. And so that's one time I will not go the middle of the road. That's one time I will bite the bullet and pay. I got 80 feet of it, and I think I paid $100 for it. Over.
Yeah, it is really thick. I had it, like, coax. I had it, like, physically wrap it around legs of one of my aquarium stands and pull it because of how thick it was. But yeah, the single loss, like what you were saying, it's one of the best types of coax you can get out there. The single loss is really low, and it's really durable, and against like any types of weather. And it's really, yeah, really cut resistant. I don't think that, like, if there's any flying debris, you say, it won't cut it as easily as, like, what was it, like, RG-55, RG-54, which is, like, that thin coax. Same year for me. It's something I would never cheap out on. The antenna you can get away with, radio you can obviously get away with. It's only, like, $5 for a radio. The coax, I don't think I would ever get that really thin RG-54. I think that's what it is.
Well, I got one of those, flagpoles. I don't know if you ever heard of this shopping place called Temu, T-E-M-U. I think about $75 or $95 for it. And it comes in six sections, and you put it together. And you have to put it in the ground with cement about 24 inches or 2 feet. Okay. So the AI told me to do that, and the AI said, first, you take rock and everything, and you put down, and you pack it down. And then you put your pipe in for your pole. Okay. You got to, first you put your tube in, too, that you're going to have for your concrete. Okay. You put your tube in. Then you put your rock in. You pack your rock down. Then you put your little plastic tube to hold your flagpole, your sleeve. And then you pour your cement in. I'm a drywall finisher, so I'm at home mixing mud like that. I mixed that up so fast, it was crazy. I mixed up 5 bags with no problem. I had that poured probably not even a half hour, you know. I had it all poured, set up, and it was all starting to go, you know, starting to set and cure and everything. And then you just take, and as it's curing, you keep an eye on your level, and you watch your level. You watch your bubble and your level. You go north and south and east and west. And you just do that, keep that up, and as it's drying, you move it, and then you're going to get to a point where you just leave it and let it go. I let that set for about a week and a half and went out and put my pole together real quick, put my antenna on the top, and talking to you now. Over.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, well, that's an instance of AI being very helpful, which it 100% is, and, well, obviously, as of now, they're transmitting with that 5-pole cell and stuff. So I'll say good job to AI and you. yeah, it's 100% useful, especially for it being free. It's extremely useful.
Well, I have to say, fella, I'm pretty happy with what my results are because, like I say, I got my license on March 11th, and I'm already this far, you know. So I think it looks like I'm enjoying this hobby. Over.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I think having your for you. That's good. You're enjoying the hobby and stuff. And, yeah, it's really fun. And, yeah, there's so many things to do. I'm an amateur, like, the hobby itself. Like I said, FTP, Morse code, and yeah, experimenting, mistakes, learning from mistakes, and stuff like that. But, well, I gotta go. I was actually prepping to make a short film for my YouTube channel. But I decided to hop on here and see if I can talk to anybody on the FBI network. So I'll say 7-3 to you, and I had a good time talking to you. And you have a good rest of your evening. Yeah, your evening. And yeah, 7-3. This is KF8 FCUN, clearing your last.
Okay, FQS, I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming back and giving me the information that I needed. You made my night. I appreciate it. You have a great, blessed night. And feel free to call me anytime you feel like talking. This is GBA, out and clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFAGHJ. Sorry.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFAD, well.
You're connected to CMN Network.
My other one that's on top there. Put the spring whip on it. Copy that. I decided to take 94 home today instead of going up Gratiot there.
Yeah, I'm going to pop down to North Avenue and zip that over. Maybe I'll take Gratiot up. That's what I usually do.
Yeah, I normally do Gratiot myself. Don't know. I felt like jumping on the freeway for a little bit here. Traffic's a little bit out here. I'm surprised, I guess.
Yeah, Hall Road's kind of light. Yeah, I don't want to take this on the freeway. I mean, I drove it in other places, and Melissa drove it on the freeway, but I got to get a passenger outer tie rod, and she's got a little bit of a drift to her. So it's not really severe, but it's, you know, enough that I got to get it replaced, so I got to order that soon.
Understood. Better safe than sorry. That's for sure.
Yeah, the OEM, what do they call it, Motocraft or whatever, through O'Reilly is like $130. My neighbor told me what to get, so get that ordered.
That's funny. I still haven't come up with something good and sassy to say about it myself, so I'll take it. all right, I'm headed south on Garfield right now. I think I just passed 19 Mile Road. Or Canal, it's one of the two. Canal. How you guys doing out there? While they're running or anything like that, and they do not. So there's a plus for that. Over to you, Tim.
All right, you guys getting all the lights. I got to hook myself up with something like a bag mount bar on top of this Ford here. Tom, I'm on the Richmond again. I'm on top of the overpass. I wonder if I'm hitting it just out of curiosity. Go ahead.
I concur. You're sounding good, Jim.
Telling Tom I got the new Pulse Larson on top of this car, but I'm not like him. I don't know where you switch, you know, like where do you switch from the Ump to the, you know, Richmond and stuff like that. But I guess we figured it out. Go ahead, Tom.
ride Warren for a bit, and then I jump onto the Elm. If not, I go from Warren right over to Richmond, right around M19.
Yeah, that's a route that sounds like it makes sense. You, whenever I'm going home from this place, I just go straight down Garfield to 15 Mile Road and hang a left.
Yeah, when I'm down that way,
I'll stay on that 90% of the time.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I ride KJ and Machine, you know, Central Michigan for a while. All depends on where I'm at.
Yep, I can understand all that. You guys doubled. I didn't catch anything you said there, Jim. You want to run it past me again?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, just during the set, I guess the boss said that he would possibly be dispatching us to the hospital, you know, as part of the drill. And I'm just saying maybe you'll get the parking back. I'd refuse to use it.
I just got to read to this radio and then redo my UHF DMR Motorola, so I have that cut sheet of where all my channels are at.
Speaking of channels, it sounded to me like what they're planning on using is all that gold standard stuff on the cheat sheet. Does that sound like that makes sense?
Rearrange the frequencies of my beam on my mail, exactly where everything is at. For my Alinco, I know the frequencies, and all I'm going to do is check it up, and I can spin the dial on this thing real fast.
I may have doubled again, but Cliff, I do believe he's going to throw some wrinkles into it, so we'll see.
For the channels, I'm going to have to put the proper code names in. Over to you, Tim.
So, like they said, it's available on the website, but it is a little interesting because for FBI, Mike has Warren as the primary FBI. Well, where I'm at, it's not Warren. Obviously, it's Richmond, so there's a subtle difference, but nevertheless, he does have a lot in there, so it is worth it.
Yeah, I just don't have a color printer, you know, so it's going to be, light gray, dark gray, or gray, or black, you know, so I can change it from color to black and white.
Or you can ask somebody with a color printer to print you a color copy.
That's just that dude that lives in Richmond, down the road from you.
Be most appreciative. I said then I'll get a folder with everything in it and flip it open for, my set manual kind of thing. KGO for ID.
Yeah, but again, to where I'm going to have to build one of those books, too, so that I know what goes where everywhere on all the radios I got. NHCAF.
NHWRO. I'll make this my last, guys. I'm pulling into town. But, yeah, Tom, and then I should probably print a few more of those all pins open, MI5 maps. I think you grabbed one of them. I'd like to keep one of those in the car. I'll listen out, guys, but I'll make this my last. NHWRO. Go ahead, Tom.
I just passed 5 Macomb County patrol units sitting here on North Avenue. And the guy was flashing the flashlight telling me to keep going, and I, you know, crossed over. And he looked real long at me as I drove by.
See, you get all the fun, Tom. All of it. Have a good night there, Tim. Be safe. Hope you get some rest tonight. 73's to you and all the other good numbers. NECAF. Out, if that. Got the gear down, flaps deployed. This is NECAF 73, so everyone, be safe out there, and hopefully be talking to you guys tomorrow and in the future. This is NECAF, clear and listening out.
WAGD, about 6 minutes to go to home. Stopped at McDonald's, stopping. Got some fuel, all good to go. KJO, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I got a little bit of a longer drive. I'm going to go down Grash, all road to Grash, and then Grash it up to Richmond. But, changed my mind, decided to go down North Avenue. And, like I was saying, I just passed a crap ton of cruisers, and I moved over and just drove by real slow, and one of them just was flashing his flashlight, and he took a long, hard look at me as I came by, like, where's that dude going?
Nothing says pull me over like that car.
Well, the lights cannot be activated. I have amber and white that can't be. So if he asked me to turn on the lights, I just flip the little toggle switch and say, see? They work. And the key, you know, it's a key switch, so it can't be activated without the key being in the switch. So, and it seems like that's a standard, because I saw another one similar to this one. And you have the same key switch and the same pull switch. So it's like, that's weird.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Where'd Tim go? He make it home already?
Clear 5-9 on UHF. Unfortunately, I said I don't have a P-25 in here. So I need to get another P-25. And I'm going to get more of those UHF and PL-239 so I can put the 4550 in here.
Or just chop the cord and put the connector on it and have a few dB less loss.
Yeah, but I hate doing that. You know, I mean, I'm sure, like I said, if I got a PL-250, PL-239 already on it, if I cut it, and then I got to make it a mini UHF, sometimes that's just too much work.
Now that you get it done with the fancy crimper, John might have the fancy crimper going to his parking lot and borrow the fancy crimper and walk back in.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I mean, I have a mini UHF, I just don't have the right top hat for it. Yeah, because it looks like it's a reverse connection, so it's like, I don't know, I will see. Check it out.
And then you could go from mini UHF to PL-259 if you had to.
I mean, I got a mini UHF in the back there behind the seat, you know, the cables there. I just don't have the top hat for it, so I gotta find one that, I mean, I have one, but it's an internal screw instead of an external, so I gotta find the top hat with the external screw, and I just screwed on top of the connector that's already on the roof.
I'm gonna give you something to do in your spare time. All right. I'm saying 73s and all the other good numbers that you're supposed to say because I'm in the driveway. So, toodaloo, chat tomorrow. I'll be out and about. So, W.A. Victor Delta clear after yours.
I'll be out and about tomorrow, probably around 7:30-ish as usual. And on P-25 and UHF up there. Talk to you later. 73. KJO.
Hello, Echo 8, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, radio check.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.